Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, ask that you will clear all our minds and our heart of distraction on even things that will hinder us and draw us away from meditating upon your goodness, your mercy and grace. We pray that the Holy Spirit will take over and, Lord, move in us and bless us with the peace, the joy and the hope. And Lord, that the thankfulness and that there will be gratitude and appreciation for all that you have done for us and all that we are, even in Singapore, Lord. Father, we thank you even for this time that thou hast given to us to come and look into thy precious word and be fed and be taught, and that we will learn and grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and in your word, which is your guide for us, Lord. So we need you. We pray that, Father, that we come before you with humility and submission, and we pray that you cleanse us, wash us with that precious blood. We just ask that this time will be a time of edification, a time where we all can come and learn and grow together and strengthen one another in the faith. We just ask that you bless this time. Bless those that are on the way. Grant them safety as a travel, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I trust that all of you have your note. It's kind of lengthy, especially the Bible verses. Today we are going to go into this subject on how to be wise with your money. Actually, you talk about money, it's a very big subject. Did you know that in the Bible, if you look at anything that relate to money, how God talks about money and, you know, pertaining to money in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, you'd be surprised how much the Bible dwells a lot about this subject. Just go into your search. You have this short searcher or some of those Bible tools. You just type money from Genesis all the way right up to the New Testament. Of course, there are other than that, more than money. You type mammon, you type riches, you type a lot of things. So many things deals with money. In fact, our Lord Jesus Christ talks a lot about money also. And he deals quite a fair deal about the issue of money in the faith, in our lives. So before we go into this morning topic about the tithe, we need to consider this matter of money. As introduction, I just want to bring us our mind thinking about money. You know, there's a Chinese saying, some people will always like to quote, I'm sure many of us heard it many times. Say, 钱是万万不能没有啊. You know, 钱, but 钱不是万能的. You know, we cannot, don't have money, we need money. It's something that we have to face it. Money affects us a lot. Because we work for it, we spend a lot of time to work. And then, in a sense, money affects us both physically, mentally, spiritually. Because how we respond, how it affects us in all these aspects can cause a lot of issue in our lives. Okay? The Bible says a lot about money. Many of Jesus' sermons were on this subject. And then he taught that man's heart is bound up with his treasure. So if our treasure is on the things that are of this world, which actually you zoom into it, is about wealth, about money, then our heart is here. But if our heart is, our affection is on the things in above, then our heart is there. I hope that, you know, for some of us, in fact, all of us, that you have a very clear biblical understanding of how God wants us to handle our finance. All right? Because many Christians fall into the trap of not able to handle finance properly and end up in debts, end up in a lot of trouble and sorrows, and it causes a lot of problems. So when we talk about money, we're actually talking about life, because we spend all our life to get money to stay alive. But we know money itself is amoral. It's neither good nor bad. It all depends on how you use it and the kind of attitude that you have it. So when you use it on the right, you will have a righteous ramification. Something positive, good will come out. If you use it for the wrong purpose, then it will be for unrighteous ramification. In a way, just like many things, because of our sinful nature, we pervert the gift of God. Money is a gift. But Sometimes, because of our sinful nature, we use money in the wrong, for the wrong purpose. I wrote down in the note there that understanding what the Bible teaches about money is vital to Christian growth and service. All right, it also affects the church. It's very sad that sometimes churches struggle with finance when God's people are not giving, when God's work have to suffer because there's not enough giving for the work of the Lord. And it's sad because I don't think that is God's will. God owns everything. God will supply, and He'll supply through the people. But it's just a matter of how we manage our finance and our attitude towards what we own and how we use it for the Lord. So money affects our life, whether we like it or not. We have to have a very good biblical understanding and practice biblical finance and have a godly attitude, an attitude that God wants us to have about money. But this morning, we're not going to go through that because it's really a huge subject. It's just that when we don't have the right concept about money, as far as God is concerned, this morning the topics about tithes and giving will have no effect. Because when we are right about money, we will have no problem giving tithes and offering. Do you agree? I believe if we, for example, if we believe what I have all belongs to God, and what is the principle that I hold to, I'm just a steward. The thing God entrusted to me, if God wants me to give more, that I will give more by grace and by faith, and trusting God and depending on God. And the focus is not about me, or how much I left, how will it affect me, how am I going to get by and all. No, it's about God. It's about being a faithful steward and all those. So when we have this mindset, what naturally comes is that when there is a tithe, we will not rob God, like in Malachi said. And when there is a need for the church and for the kingdom of the work of God, our giving will go beyond that. It can even, like the Macedonian, you know, give beyond what they have and give sacrificially. So the reason why I want to, in the introduction, to bring this is for us to go back and ask God to help us to have a correct grasp and understanding about the how our philosophy about money should be. When we have that right and God have a hold on that, tithe and giving becomes a blessing, become a joy, become something that will be a growing thing for us. All right. Okay, let's look into Malachi chapter 3, verse 18. So much for the introduction. Shall we stand as we look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 12? I have it in your note, but then there is no verse what to verse what. Still, we have to get back to the Bible. Shall you turn to your Bible to Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 12? And then we will read all these verses. I will read the first one and then responsively. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8. The Bible says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But he says, wherein we have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out of blessings, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Together, verse 12. "And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a certain land, saith the Lord of hosts." Amen. Please be seated. The verses here we just read, has God rebuking the nation of Israel of robbing him of the tithe? And God issued a blessing and a curse, both in this matter of when we give, or rather the nation of Israel, when they give and when they don't give. God wants the nation of Israel here, he says in verse 10, "And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. You know, when we issue a challenge to someone, sometimes it may be hard to win the challenge. You know, we're not always confident, but when God issues a challenge to prove Him that you give to Him and honor Him, He will overflow what you give, and even the storehouse will not be able to contain it. We want to look at this matter of tithe. Actually, if you look at the matter of the Bible, the first mention of tithe is actually in Genesis chapter 14, where we have Abraham, after the four Macedonian kings have been taken Lot captive, and when Abraham attacked and recovered all the things, after his victory, the king of Sodom, and also the priest, a priest of God called Melchizedek, came and blessed Abraham. Huh? Salem. Oh, sorry. Salem. And then Abraham then gave a tenth of everything. In Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, in fact, 18 to 20, Salem. Melchizedek, a little bit of error in my note. King of Salem brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thy enemies into thy hand." And he, Abraham, gave him tithes of all. In fact, we find that Abraham was so generous that later on, he gave it up all that he has taken. But anyway, the text here does not tell us whether Abraham had tithe before or even ever tithe after. All right, it could be perhaps a custom. It could be Abraham was generous. And then by Abraham, we find that he kept all the laws that God has given that were relevant in his day. In Genesis chapter 26, verse 5, which is not in your note, we find that it tells us that Abraham obeyed all the law that God has given to him. All right? But Genesis also does not tell us whether tithing was a law in Abraham's day. All right? Many of God's decrees and requirements were built around the nation of Israel and the Levitical priesthood and the tabernacle. So, because that was all this was before Abraham. The Mosaic law included the tithe and everything, and also pertaining to the ceremonial and the moral, and also with regards to the Levitical priesthood and the tabernacle. That was way before this Abraham. But Abraham practiced the tithe. All right, he did tithe. The next mention of tithing is in Genesis chapter 28, verses 20 to 22, where we have Jacob. It's read here, and Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way, that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely what? Give the tenth unto thee." Alright, so we find that the next mention of tithe is the example of Jacob. Okay? And tithe actually refers to the, it means a tenth, all right? And it refers, so the principle why we tithe and which indicate 10% come from this meaning 10. Before we go into that, I just want to let you know that this material is from Brother David Cloud. And after going through it, Brother David Clark's position is that he believes in tithing, all right? And of course, he also believes in giving. Tithing and giving actually is the whole Bible. It's the principle from the Old Testament and also the New Testament. It's a combination of both, all right? I was researching, and then I go through some actually are very against tithing. And they will take such a lengthy thing about why tithing is not for today's in the church age. And they have such a strong displeasure about people who, of course, in all the history of Christendom, there will always be false Christ, false church, you know, false people who will take religion and make use of religion to gain, you know, for their own personal, selfish kind of thing. But I think beside that, tithing is teaching is very clearly taught in the Bible, in the Old Testament. But of course, many people would argue that if in order to practice tithing, we must do exactly like what the Israelites do, you know, because tithing, if you look at it, is a lot in agricultural kind of thing. It's a way of managing the economy of the nation of Israel, how to support the work, especially the Levite. They are not given the inheritance. Where are they going to get the support from? So God provided through the tithing for the Levite, and then the high priest. And then, of course, we have the temple, you know, and the maintenance of all those things. And beside that, there are all needs. The need of the people in terms of like orphan, widow, and the poor, and all those. Who is going to look after these people? So God actually come out this tithing to ensure that the people of Israel provide for one another, the work as well as the people. So that is the concept that was given, or rather through the nation of Israel, we see how it is being done. But it is still relevant, I believe, because the Bible tells us in the Old Testament is for us to learn. We draw principle that we can apply in the New Testament. In fact, many of the principles in the Bible, we learn from the Old Testament. You know, like this matter of sowing and reaping, you know. There are many, that as you study the life of many of the New Old Testament character and all this, we draw principle and apply them in our context today. So, Brother David Clough, his position is that he is for both tithing as well as giving. And it is also my conviction that there's nothing wrong to practice tithing, you know. And but we need to be mindful that it is not just all tithing. We're also in the new covenant where there is the age of grace that God bless us richly, freely. So therefore, we will also give back to God freely, that kind of spirit, okay? But let's go on. So we find that from this tithing, it refers to giving at least 10% of one's income to God. It's a way to honor God and to support His great work in this needy world. God has promised to bless it, and multitude of believers have learned that they are better off living on 90% of their income, or maybe 80 and lesser, than 100%. It is a spiritual principle, I believe, that is very interesting. The more we learn to give to God, whether it's through tithing, and you choose to give more than 10%, and then practice the giving by grace, you know, by faith, free will giving, you find that the person is lesser in financial problem, and far more wiser, and in terms of using the finances. I guess God knows why we need that. But anyway, it's just something that is not that, is it true that, you know, the more you give, the better you are, and all? It is true, because God knows it. God knows how to, you know, help us out in that. Tithing, number one, was a practice, like I mentioned earlier, before the law of Moses, where we have the example of Abraham, followed by the example of Jacob. But it was a principle that has been understood by God's people from the beginning. You know, I think as far as tithing is concerned, somehow, I suppose Abraham would have given the wisdom to see that there is a need. And Abraham, we learn from the Old Testament, I believe he has a very a good relationship, a close relationship with Lord Jehovah. You know, his heart, there is God there. So I think the giving also has got that because of that relationship. Then we see tithing was practiced under the law, whereby we see under the Mosaic, the law of Moses, there was actually a double tithe. If you study into this tithing, you'll find that there is this matter of the firstlings, then this matter of additional tithe, like there is the festival tithe, you know, and then there is this matter of another situation where you have to set aside some money to help the poor, the widower, and the needs that arises. So actually, if you look at tithing, it's not just 10%. You add all this in, it's actually more than 20%. You know, if you do a calculation. But in the Old Testament, like I mentioned earlier, tithing was practiced by the nation of Israel for this express purpose of supporting and of meeting the needs, both the work and then a system. It's just like our tax system, you know. So we find that it is in the book of Numbers, the Israelites are required to give 10% of all their increase. Numbers chapter 18, verse 24 to 28, we find that there is this heave offering. I'll just briefly go through. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as an heave offering unto the Lord. And then it goes on to say that there this heave offering, even a tenth part of the tithe, the end of it, it says that, and ye shall give thereof the whole heap offering to Aaron the priest. Basically what happened is the people of Israel come and offer the tithe to the Levites. The Levite will then, what the tenth they have, they will give a tenth to the high priest, you know, for the support of the high priest. And there is even this, when there is this 3 years of rest, and then the farmer will not be able to farm and all this, there is another matter that has pertaining to the reason for the tithe, is to help out. Basically, it's for the economy of the nation of Israel. So we find that tithe both was practiced before the giving of law and was practiced under the law. Even in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 to 25, there is this thing called the second or the festival tithe. Alright, there were also given to the poor in Exodus chapter 23, verse 11. It says, but the 7 year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave the beast of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. Leviticus 9 and 10, and thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. So this is the provision when the tithe is collected. This tithe is also meant to reserve it for the poor and for this kind of situation. So we find that, number one, tithe is being practiced in the Old Testament, both before and after the law. Number two, in Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 12, God says that those who keep the tithe are robbing him. That means did not give. Alright? God commanded that the tithe, and that it belongs to him. It says here, whether or not one considered the exact tithe an obligation to the on the New Testament believer, it is sure that the believer does have many financial obligations to the church. And to fail to fulfill them is to rob God. So Brother David Clark is trying to draw this matter of, just as the nation of Israel robbed God of the tithe for the support of the people, and so primarily the work, the priesthood, the temple and all those, in the New Testament context, when we not give our tithe, we also rob God of the tithe and the church. We have a financial obligation towards the church, to support the church, the work of God, and the people that who preach the gospel. So that is the principle. The other one is in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 12, God promised to bless them who tithe. Alright? So when the believer tithe, they get by a life far better by giving tithe and offering and living on what is left than he can by not giving to God and trying to live on 100% of his income. Actually, you know, if you think of it, did you know that last time when we started to work, I'm sure this one, all of us can relate. Our first income was just this amount. And somehow we managed, we survived, and we are very comfortable. God bless us, promote us, we get a bigger income. But the funny thing is, the more income we get, the more we find that we don't have enough. Why? Because the more we spend, the more we did not make use of the money. It's the heart issue. It's not the amount. It's how are we contented, how are we using the attitude about money. Is that we forgot this money is a blessing from God, and that we will give it back to God, and that we'll set aside, and we'll still maintain. If you attend any financial counseling, they will tell you, if you earn more than before, don't go up on the spending, higher spending. Spend the same, so that you will save whatever extra that you get. But it's easy to say, but it's very hard to do. Because we are bombarded day in, day out. You know, the consumerism, the materialism, and the advertisement. You turn on the TV, you turn on the radio, you go to the bus stop, you shopping center, everywhere. It's a lot more difficult to have self-control. But interestingly, what the Bible says here deals with the root of this problem of our financial world. It's the heart, it's our philosophy and our attitude towards money. So how to curb that? God perhaps thought of it. Is to remind us that it belongs to God and we should invest it. Of course, there is another thing about why we give tithe. We want to put our money where we can invest it for eternity. You know? And I pray that God will help us when we think about putting our money to something, buying something, giving something or what, that we will have this eternity value. Does it yield anything? And glorify God and advance the kingdom of God and bless, you know, and edify and things like that. Alright, so God promised to bless those who tithe. Thousands of believers have learned that God has indeed blessed those who tithe. When God says he will rebuke and the devourer, it means that he will not allow things to happen to us that can rob us of our money. The verse here basically promised the nation of Israel that I will make sure that you will have good harvest. No one can come and rob you of all that I have given to you so that you can give to me. That's my promise, God's promise. And in a way, we are living by faith. We have to trust God. When we give, it's a matter of faith and trusting God. As I give to you, I'm going to trust you to continue to keep me with my job, to keep me to have an income, to provide me so that I can give. It is a two-way thing, you know, that I look to God by faith and trusting God and give by faith and also believing God will provide me. And as you know, we look into men of old like George Mueller, who is a very great example about giving, about trusting God, about living by faith, even when he has so great a need, you know. And God miraculously, every time his need is being met, right on the spot and on time, the need just come, knock on the door, money just keep coming and provided for the needs. So it is a spiritual kind of exercise. It is a exercise of faith and trust. So here we find that God promised us, all right? And this does not mean that those who will never have trouble and their roof will never leak or their... Here, that's what Brother Cloud says. But it doesn't guarantee in the sense that, you know, here we're not preaching the prosperity gospel. It means that many things that would otherwise happen will stop because of God's blessing. Okay? And then thirdly, we find that tithe should be brought into the storehouse. The example here, the storehouse is where they manage all of the tithe for the various ministry, in a sense, for the work, for the maintenance of the temple and the support of the priesthood and everything. Brother David Krupp draw a parallel. The storehouse is like the church. Today, the church is the house of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible tells us, if I tarry long and thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Okay? And we find the example of the first church where the people brought their gift and laid them at the feet of the leader in Acts chapter 4, verses 34 to 35. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessor of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution were made unto every man according as he had needed. Some people say this is Christian communism, which is not. Because communism is by force. Whether you like it or not, you have to give. But here we find the people give it out of a willing heart, you know, so that their needs will be met through these people. Those that have more give to those that have less. Those that have more give to those that have nothing. And because of that, all the needs are being met. The work of the ministry is being supported and all those. It's totally different in terms of the spirit, in terms of how it works. There is no you know, persecution if you don't give. And then, of course, we know communism, there is a lot of corruption and everything. A lot of what has been given is been abused. But this is not the case. So this is also an example for us today in the church. Because the church has much more work than the Old Testament temple. And the church has been commanded to preach the gospel in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Verses 18 to 20, we have the Great Commission. And you know, the Great Commission is something that requires a lot of financial expenses. And it can only be borne by God's people. There's a principle I believe Pastor Johnny holds, and I think it's very true, that God's work must be done by God's people. All right? And it's just right. If God's people don't do God's work, we cannot do the work of God. And then we also need to support those who preach the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14, the Bible says, even so had the Lord ordained that they which what preach the gospel should live off the gospel. Titus 3, 13 to 14, bring Zemus, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Okay, and then 3 John 5 to 8, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to stranger, which has borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forth on the journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, and we might be fellow helper to the truth. So, tithe is given so that for the ministry of God's work, right? And also to support God's people. Brother David Clark also stressed the importance in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 to 10, that we are to teach our children how to tithe. All right? In Proverbs chapter 3, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3, because we are... Verse 1 says, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. Of course, it's not just tithing alone, but in all matters. But in this case, we are supposed to teach our children all of God's commandments. All right? And then when it comes to verses 9 to 10, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 3, 9 to 10, that honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thy increase. So shall thy barn be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. If this is something for us, it's something that we also need to teach our children. You do know that one of the many problems with our generation in the past, I don't know starting when, and thereafter, as far as those people that grow up and they have many, many financial problems thereafter, is because they have not learned from their own parents how to be wise with money. I don't know about, you know, for maybe Brother June and the old generation, Our folks always will tell us, you must learn to save, huh? You must work hard, but don't anyhow spend, okay? When you spend, you must make sure you spend properly and all those kind of things. And will tell us a lot. It's very simple, straightforward finance counseling, you know. But sad to say, today we are teaching our generation the wrong thing. We're not inculcating a sense of value, you know, as far as money is concerned, how money is hard earned, money must be, you must spend wisely, you must not. You know, we inculcate. We teach our children that no, this is not the right thing to spend on it and all those kind of things. And children, on the other hand, are given too much of a financial freedom, you know. And easy come, easy go, they will visit expensive, fast food restaurant and then buy a lot of things here and there, shop here, shop there. This is the generation of our young people and our children today. Some children, you take out your handphone, there is more updated than yours, you know, ours rather. And many, many of those things, I'm sure we've seen of all this. It is important for us as parents, and I think it's something that we need to get back and we need to really do something about, to teach our children how to tithe so that they can be blessed also. All right? So if we ourselves don't practice tithing, I don't think we can tell our children to tithe. But if we practice tithing and children see that how when we faithfully tithe to God and give to God, and how God bless us and how God changed our mind about money, about, you know, our finance, I'm sure God will also bless them with that wisdom and with that knowledge. Okay? And then the tithe should be given from all thy increase, as he said. This means that whenever we earn or receive money, we should give a tithe unto the Lord from it. I'm sure you encounter a very common question, right? How do I tithe? Do I tithe from the gross or from the net income? And does it mean that if I sell my house, I got profit, I also need to tithe? Or whenever I, for some reason, I got dividends, you know, from my investment portfolio, whatever it is, do I have to tithe? As far as the Bible is concerned, the principle is any increase that you get, your bonus, and you tithe from your gross, not your net, you know. But of course, this is not something that you must be very rigid and hard and fast, but it's a knowledge to say that, Lord, this is all that you have given to me, even my increase. I'm going to give it back to you. At least a tenth, the attitude. But of course, later on, we're going to look at the New Testament, another principle that will hopefully supplement, and the Lord will help us when we think about tithing and giving. Okay? So, tithing should be given with from all thy increase. The promise, God again promised to bless those who tithe. Okay? Because this was repeated, because God wants to emphasize, and it is certain, and we can trust God's word for that. The next thing is some New Testament passage on giving. Now we are going to go into giving. I hope tithing, at least you have an idea. All right? There's nothing wrong to tithe. Okay, so don't go when people come and tell you it's wrong, because there's Old Testament and all those things. I believe we are not tithing. Just the spirit of the principle, I think it is still relevant for us. Okay, but of course there are many practical, like some people say, I don't know how much to tithe and this and that. Okay, then you just use tithing 10%, you know, better than no reference, right? But if God works in your heart and the Spirit of God moves you and you feel that you want to worship God with the money, you know, and then want to express your joy and your thankfulness, then just let the Spirit of God works, which is what we're going to go through. So far, any question? Anything about this tithe? I hope it's been covered quite, you know, enough for you to have something to go back and God can speak to you in this subject about tithing. Okay? If not, let's look at the New Testament. We're going to first of all look at Luke chapter 6, verse 38. The Bible says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Here there is a principle of the more you give, the more you will be blessed. The more God will give you blessed. Okay? It's a very wonderful promise about giving. This is not talking about tithing, but it's talking about giving in general, because God loves a cheerful giver, and it's something that He takes note and He will abundantly bless. You know, sometimes when we talk about giving or even doing whatever, when the Bible says whatsoever you eat or drink or do, do it for the glory of God. What is the thing that God wants us? Is that we do it out of love for God. We do it out of what? Gratitude. We do it out because God blesses me so much and it's such a joy, you know. And even for the matter of service. So I believe that when it comes to giving, that there must be that wonderful experience with God, you know, and a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ of how blessed we are. When I come back from the trip to Indonesia, my colleague will ask me, how was your trip? I always tell them, so blessed. I always tell them, it's such an educational thing for me. You know, I tell myself, there's nothing to complain in Singapore. You know, even the transport, even the this and that, all the rising. But you cannot complain, because compared to where the people are in Indonesia, I don't have to toil and suffer and worry about one day 3 meal and go around begging or go around trying to. I tell you, when you travel to Indonesia, everywhere you go, you see poverty, you see people are having to toil and suffer and you know, but here we are, we're having it so good and so easy. So I keep telling myself, God, I'm so blessed. God, thank you. God, you know, I cannot complain anything, you know, because what is there to complain? Of course, there are more than to it. But I'm just saying that, you know, when you see how much God has blessed you, and your heart is totally different. The way you see things, the way you feel so light, you feel, money, okay. It's not something that's going to bother me a lot, you know. But still, I need to practice the biblical principle of working, saving, planning, and all those. Okay, so I hope this will encourage all of us. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 1 to 2, this passage also helps us to see that believer in the first church took up collection when they assembled on the first day of the week. The particular offering was for a special offering that Paul was collecting for the Christian in Jerusalem that was suffering because of the famine, alright? Look at 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 to 12. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, hope upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Romans 12, 15-26, for it hath pleased him, pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make certain contribution for the poor saints which were at Jerusalem. Alright? And you know, the example of the Macedonia, their sacrificial giving, was something that Paul talks a lot to the Corinthian church and praise and thank God, and such a good example. Alright? So, here the word Paul taught them to give as God has prospered. This means the giving was to be what? Proportionate. Alright? It is the same principle as the tithe. Those who can give more, who earn more, will give more. And I think it's very reasonable. You know, if you meet a lot of old folks, one of the things that they will always complain with regards to money? My children never give me any money, you know. My children are so stingy, you know. I heard of this with patient. Just give me this amount every month only. But they are doing this, they are earning so much. They spend on this, they give it, they go holiday and all those kind of things. You know, if our earthly parent can feel that kind of sadness, you know. But on the contrary, when you have children giving and blessing their parent, you know what is the opposite? My children is very good. My children, every month give me this. I can go for this. I can do this. I can what. You know, it's such a wonderful thing to hear, right? I believe in the same way God, our Heavenly Father, would want us to, you know, be delighted and be happy to see that as we are being blessed by Him, that we also give back to God more as He prosper us. I trust that this will be our spirit, and let's all learn together, because, you know, the thing is not on the gift, it's on the giver. The more He gives us, the more we want to give back. And the gift is not the thing that will be the issue anymore. But the sad thing is, when the giver gives us the gift, we focus so much on the gift. Sometimes we are like spoiled children, you know. When we give our children this present, the children say, yeah, like that. I want something, you know. And that is very sad. All right, may God have mercy on us and help us not to be like that. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 7 also, this passage refers again to the special offering that Paul was collecting for the believer in Jerusalem. All right? And we see that such offering are free will, meaning the each believer makes his own decision about how much to give. And then Paul said that God promised that he will bless their giving. All our giving is not going to go to waste. Of course, in the context that we need to ensure that God's people make use of God's money properly, a good steward, and manage God's not abusing. For that matter, we have seen that there are churches who abuse us and who just take God's people's money for their own selfish use, you know, build their own little empire here and there and things like that. But thank God that we can give and that the money that is given is used for the kingdom of God. Quickly, tithe must be done by faith. I mentioned earlier on, James chapter 1 verse 2 to 4 tell us that my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that what? The trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect entirely, wanting nothing. Okay? Romans 4, 16 to 17 also tell us, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all of us all. Alright? And before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and calleth those things which he had not as though they are. The key word here is it is of faith, okay? It must be done by faith. There's a story about this John L. Rice, all right? He told of an evangelist named, it's a very difficult name to pronounce, Kukendai, in Texas in the earlier 20th century. Now, I think this story will bring this message across very well, all right? And what happened is that the story goes on to tell that this man, John R. Rice, he had a circuit of writing ministry, and his offering was, this evangelist, he had a circuit writing ministry and his offering was very small. So much so that his large family had a difficult time. So one year, a very wealthy businessman visited this area to share his testimony in several churches. Then this evangelist was his host. So transporting him from meeting to meeting in his buggy and many other things. Then the businessman challenged the people to tithe. As they were traveling along one day, the businessman asked the evangelist if he believed in tithing. So he replied, yes, I would love to tithe, but I'm very poor and must take care of my large family. So the businessman responded, okay, I will make you this offer. If you were to tithe for an entire year, I will guarantee you, if at any time during the year you find anything that you can't meet, any obligation, and don't know where to turn to, just contact me and I will send you the necessary money. I'm a wealthy man and I am a man of my word. So, why? Not bad, got some. So, this man enthusiastically replied, I will gladly take you on this offer. But you know what happened? The evangelist kept his word and he tithed faithfully. But he never had to contact the businessman, because at the end of the 12th month, the evangelist was meditating on what had happened, because God had richly blessed him that year and had met every need. So the people gave more and more, and the family experienced many special blessings. So when he think about this thing, he said, I have this businessman who promised to supply all that I need. If I don't have, I just ask him. I have God, you know, God who owns everything. I just need to go and ask God. So he finally came to this realization that he had trusted God. You know, in the past, he has not been willing to trust God's word. Okay? So, in a sense, sometimes we fail to look to God and trust God, and by faith. Alright, lastly, what if I do not believe that tithing is a law for the New Testament believer? Again, we go back to this. Tithing predates the law of Moses. That means before the law of Moses, Abraham and then Jacob also tithe. The Old Testament was given for our example, because Paul tells us in Romans 15, verse 4, it says here, when whatsoever thing were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. And then Paul also saying, 1 Corinthians 10:11, now all these things happen unto them for what? For example, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And that's the reason why we say that the Old Testament tithing is something that we learn as a principle to apply in our context today. Okay, the believer has many financial obligations also. Because just like the temple, the Great Commission is an obligation. Alright, and then we have this matter of supporting preacher and missionary is also an obligation. The church is also an obligation. So if you look at the work of the Lord in terms of the Great Commission, in terms of supporting the preacher and the missionary, in terms of the needs of the church, where does all this come from? Come from all of us. Just like in the New Testament, the people give for the work of the Lord and for the need of one another. You know, when you see that the Macedonian, and then you see Paul calling for collection during time of famine and all this. Where do this money come from? It didn't come from fundraising, jumbo sale or whatever. It comes from within God's people who have this mind and the heart and the spirit of what? Giving and tithing and even beyond as and trusting and God will provide and all this. I think that is a very, it's a biblical principle that we must always remember. It's a very easy to go by the ways method to handle the finance and to deal with the finance of God's work and God's people. All right. Okay, are there anything that anyone want to add on or maybe comment or is there anything that you feel that need to be corrected? I hope at the end of this, let me just read this conclusion. I actually wanted to read this. I think it's very important. Okay. Christians need to give, to share their resources and blessing with others. They have a duty to support the preaching of the gospel, to give financial support to their spiritual leader, and the church needs this support. If disciples of Jesus Christ can give, but do not, they are falling short. The Old Testament covenant, that is the Old Testament, required 10%, but the new does not specify a percentage. However, the new covenant admonishes people to give what they can, and tithe still provide an instructive point of comparison. Okay? And Christians should examine their own circumstances and the better blessing they have been given in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, through the anointing sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us and the gift of the Holy Spirit to us. Contributions should be given to the church for its collective work pertaining to the preaching of the gospel and the expenses involved in the local ministry and congregational needs. Okay, and likewise, the New Covenant does not specify any particular percentage for assisting the poor. Instead, it asks for equity, and we certainly have room for improvement in this. So basically, the bottom line is, at the end of the day, we must make sure we don't rob of God of His time. And we give as the Lord bless us, and give out of free will, out of love, not grudgingly, all right? And not out of also even sometimes of necessity. But God is more interested in the giver. How we give, you know, and what is our heart when we give. That brings more joy to God than the amount. All right? Okay.
Okay. I hope you understand. Any questions for Bra Taylor? I think it's pretty clear. Okay, from Bra Clark's perspective, I mean, looking from the scriptures, the teaching of tithing from the Old Testament all the way to the New. Just want to make a few comments. I already taught this before. And the position, as much as we have convictions, which is actually important, the position of ambassador is a few questions. One is tithing ever mentioned? The word tithing itself only mentioned 3 times in the New Testament, okay? And it was never an instruction to the New Testament church. Just want to put it in perspective. It's very, very clear that giving is a principle of God, for God's people. Okay, and it's interesting, although Abraham gave tithes, he gave all. He gave all, you must understand. So which means that tithing, that 10% per se, even before the Mosaic law, Abraham gave more than the 10% already. Okay, he gave more already. But in the New Testament, in the Mosaic law, it was mandatory to support the economy of Israel. God had to do something to make sure the economy goes. So the whole tithe is specific 10%. In fact, every Jew, every year, every time there's a harvest, they tithe 23 and a third percent. There's a poor man's tax and things like that that will add on. All right? So when it comes to the New Testament, it's interesting. The moment the church in Acts chapter 2, once they got saved, they got baptized, joined the church, immediately they gave. And there was never a percentage. Okay? There was never a percentage. So the position of Ambassador Baptist Church is the word tithing is never used because really very much is the more we receive of God's grace, the more we give. Giving is a matter of grace. All right? I agree totally with Brother Taylor when he said if you're not too sure how much to give, then I think the last point when he quoted the Old Testament tithe is an instructive point of how we can give. A principle, if you really are not too sure how much you need to give, 10% is what is given in the Bible. Okay? But you know, God actually gave a percentage. Did you realize? Let's turn to the book of Luke 21. Luke 21. Luke 21. And verse number 3. You tell me what the percentage God gave for the New Testament. And this was still under the law. You know? But the Lord Jesus recognized this and it was placed in the New Testament, I believe, for instruction for us. In verse 23, chapter 21, verse 3. This is the giving of the poor widow. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast in more than all, than they all. Verse 4. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury had cast in all the living that she had. So what percentage do you think God was pointing to? 100%, right? All that she had. Now, is God asking us to every time we get a paycheck for everything? Obviously not. But I think God was instructive in that point. But by this person and I hope as a church we will always remember giving must be because we love God. Must be because of, and this obviously this lady that she... her love for God is so much that even her food and livelihood is not so important anymore. That she's willing to give the 2 mites. 2 mites is only a few cents. Comparing with our... it's only a few cents in Singapore terms. Alright? Remember, giving is because you love God and because you worship God. And the position of ambassador is... we don't use the word tithe because giving must be from the heart. We want to pray because the new covenant, remember Jesus says a new covenant in the blood is all of grace. When God loves us, he saved us. When he blesses us, we give back. And I like what Brother Elon talked about, the fact that when God gave us, we only want to give back to him because he gave us in the first place. And so the focus is not so much on the amount of gifts, but on the fact that God loved enough to give us. You know, God, if you think about even the percentage, the 10% if you were to give, you're not too sure. Even for children, we can teach them instructively a percentage. All right? For example, if they get a dollar, then 10 cents. And God is fair. You get $10, $1. So it's that. Helping them to, if you want to compute. But remember, God is never calculative. In a sense of, all right, 10%, 10, you earn $10.50 per hour, so you must tithe what, $1.05. God is not like that. Actually, God looks at the heart. So the question is, if you apply tithing, I know some preachers say, if you don't tithe, you rob God, and God is going to judge you, and all that kind of, you know, the New Testament. And people, of course, some people are put off by that, right? They're put off by the kind of preaching. But if that's the case, if for the New Testament church, if tithing is mandatory, like some preachers say it is, that means it's a sin that you don't tithe, right? Right? It's a sin. By the way, why then preach on only this sin. What about attendance at church? Is it a sin not to be in church in the New Testament? Is it a sin if you don't do certain things that God... Does that make sense? So we have to be clear. So in the area of giving per se, as we're talking about, remember it's all of grace. And that's why I always tell people, we don't want your money. But you know, the more you love God, the more you give. The more you love God, and the more God bless you, the more you give. All right? I think we had some examples from the Filipino brethren that every time they get a job, their first paycheck goes into the... It's just that they want to do that because it's their thanksgiving to God. Yeah, they may have to scrounge a bit for first month, but it's their first roots. Thanking God that God has given me a job. This is what I... And also for the church in Siapa Baba Baptist Church in the Hundred Islands. It's a blessing for me to go there for the first time, seeing how, you know, the harvest come and see big sacks of 50 kilogram rice and bananas and all that. I say, wow, all these things doing in church. And then I spoke to someone and said, no, it's their harvest. And they give of their 50 kilograms. I think that's about 4 packets. So 200 kilograms of rice, bananas and all that. I said, what's bananas doing in church? And they say, it's their way of giving to God. So what the church does is they sell that, and the money they collected is used for the improvement of the church. And that was such a blessing to me. And Pastor
Phil said, those people who don't want to give won't come to church that Sunday or that event.
You know, let's not... God is a great blesser of us, amen? God blesses us all the time. And you know what? As God bless us, as we move on in our promotion and all that, you know, God's work shouldn't suffer. We should also increase in our love for Him in our giving as well. All right? Okay, remember, giving to God is not just in money. It's in time. It's in our heart. It's in our service. As in giving out the gospel as well. All right? So, any other questions? Yes. Just remember, God deserves our best. Well, let's just go to our prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are the first giver. Lord, you gave, you showed. Lord, when you had to save us, and nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ will suffice, you were prepared to give even your own son for us. Father, thank you. Thank you for the grace you have shown at the cross. Thank you for your love that showed us that you were willing to give everything so that we can live and have eternal life. We can have our sins forgiven. And so, Lord, as a result, you teach us in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, when Paul taught the church in Acts, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Lord, I pray that Ambassador Baptist Church will always be a giving church because it reflects the heart of our God, who is a giver. Lord, I do know that some people may have certain constraints, but I pray that you will work in our hearts to realize when you tell us to give, Lord, you only tell us to give what you already have given to us. And teach us, Lord, to freely allow all that we have to be used for your glory, your work, and Father, for the souls, Lord, of these people. Even for this evening, we pray as we are able to attend the funeral wake, we pray that you give us power to share the seeds of life. We thank you. Bless our fellowship. In the next 20 minutes before the service, help us to learn to give, Lord, because you gave us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.